It's time for the Catalyst Midweek Podcast, where we continue the conversation from this past week's message.
Hey guys, welcome to the Midweek Podcast here at Catalyst. My name is John Kelly. I'm the discipleship minister here at Catalyst, and this is Rob Harlemer, our youth minister. This week we're going to be talking about the main thing. We cannot do the work of the kingdom if we aren't connected to the king. Rob, I know you weren't here yesterday, but you did get to listen to the podcast and hear Dave's sermon.
Yep.
What were some of your initial thoughts about what he was talking about yesterday?
I thought it was great. Spiritual disciplines and being an unbalanced church is something that we've actually been talking about for a while now. We always talk about a big thing that we have to do on staff is talk about our struggles, or not our struggles, but our weaknesses, because if we're not aware of those, then the people are going to lack them as well, because we all know that if the leaders are lacking in some way, it's just going to trickle down. The people in anything, not just church, but organizations, companies, whatever the leaderships are like, the people in the organization are going to be the exact same way. And him getting up on stage and talking about his imbalance was very good, because we're all the same. Like me, you, and Dave.
It's true.
Are the exact same. We all struggle, and you're getting a little bit better, as we'll talk about in a little bit, about the getting alone in prayer section of our imbalance.
Well, I think it's everybody. I don't think anybody's perfectly balanced.
No, absolutely not.
I think everybody has something that they don't really nail down every time.
No.
You know, he talked about the difference between extroverts and introverts, that idea that introverts... they don't focus on the community aspects of the gospel.
No.
And extroverts don't focus on the individual things. And that it's right.
Yeah.
You know, someone like you, for instance, you're very much outgoing. You like to talk to people. You would prefer to do everything you do with somebody else as opposed to by yourself.
Every time.
And so for you, those individual parts of the gospel aren't always resonating the same way they would with somebody in the church who would rather just do stuff by themselves.
Yeah.
So we are imbalanced, and so because of that, it is hard to be completely down the middle in line with what the Word says.
Yeah.
You're going to struggle with something.
Absolutely. I just remember studying Jesus, and you know, you get two sides of Jesus, because he was the perfect balanced, without sin person.
He was.
Being. And you see when he's a kid and he goes and studies with other people. Mm-hmm. You know, he's with... the leaders of the temple, the church at the time, when he's like 12, 13, his parents leave him, they freak out, and then they realize that he's back at the temple where they were.
Being a really good Jewish kid.
Being a good Jesus. And he has that community aspect where he's learning from other people. And then you see 20-some years later, after he gets baptized, and not 27, 17 years later, sorry. He gets baptized, and then he goes for 40 days in solitude with...
I don't even want to talk about that.
...led by the Spirit. Like,
it wasn't solitude. It was fasting.
Okay.
40 days. Okay?
Oh, man.
Dave mentioned fasting in his sermon, and the guy sitting next to me says... He rubbed his belly. I can't do that.
I can't do that, yeah.
And you know, I'll be honest, man... You don't get to be the girth that I have by fasting. I probably need to.
Oh, man.
For non-spiritual reasons, I probably need to. But the discipline, I mean, this whole sermon was about discipline.
Yeah.
But the discipline Jesus needed to have to fast for 40 days.
40 days.
That's more than a month.
Yeah.
With no food.
No food.
None. And then when Satan looks at him and says, turn those stones into bread and eat them.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. If I had Jesus' power, Satan told me to turn those rocks into bread, I might have done it.
Oh,
because 40 days.
That's insane.
Yeah, so I just completely cut you off there. But that blows my mind, the discipline that Jesus had. When he fasted, that he didn't just fast for like a night.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a 30-hour famine.
Yeah, we all have.
But
that's
40 days.
I know that even when I do 12 hours, I try to do that every once in a while, and I am just cranky. I'm angry. I'm hungry. Hangry is what they like to call
hangry.
It. And I swear, like, my wife will call me, because I get Fridays off for my job, and my wife will call me on her break, and I don't want to talk to her, because I'm hungry, and I'm frustrated. And Jesus was calm. He was talking to Satan, who we all just want to beat up, and he's just like, no, I'm good. And he quotes scripture. You know the last thing I want to do when my wife's getting on my nerves? Quote scripture.
Yeah, I have no desire to do that. No desire to do that at all. None. But I mean, you look at it, like the very first discipline that Dave talked about was prayer.
Yeah.
And not only did he do the fasting for 40 days, but he also, in situations throughout the Bible, you see where he went off to a quiet place.
Yeah.
To be by himself and to pray. And I know Dave had mentioned that this is very uncomfortable for him. And I think you said it's uncomfortable for you too. Like, yeah. Getting off to the quiet, yeah, place. Kind of explain why it's that way.
Well, I know that you are a hiker, and you love to get off, and you'll talk about this in a second, but I lived in Tennessee in the mountains,
yeah,
for 5 years, and there's trails everywhere. Like, our campus was in a valley of two mountains, and we had cross-country trails. Our cross-country course went through the mountains, so we could walk it whenever there was, like, there was seats set up, there was scripture, like, as you walk too.
Wow.
And I was like, I'd walk it, you know, 30, 40 minutes. All right, I'm good. Let's go back.
30, 40 minutes. I got like a quarter of a mile, and I'm good, man.
Probably didn't even get a mile. Probably not. That's I probably crazy. Could. Probably from my dorm to the start of the course, I was probably like, oh, let's walk back. Like,
yeah, what was so uncomfortable about it?
I love being with people.
Yeah.
Anything I do, I want to do. I'll do anything if I'm with somebody else.
Yeah.
And they don't even have to be doing anything. Like, they could just be sitting in the room and I'm working, but I'm with somebody and I love it. And that community aspect of just getting to know each other. And Dave even mentioned it fires him up when he's with community.
Yeah.
And that some people, and there's a lot of people in our church that when they're with people, they become exhausted.
Yeah.
When I'm with people, that's when I wake up.
Well, funny thing, I'm 85% that.
Yes.
I'm 85% that. And when I was in youth ministry, I was in youth ministry for years.
Mm-hmm.
I was single and in youth ministry. Okay. Yeah. And so for 12 years of doing youth ministry, I was just like that. I had to be around other people. Yeah. And I was all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a wife. I didn't have any kids. I could do whatever I wanted. Fast forward to 2018. I now have two kids. I'm in my 40s.
Now you want to get away.
And I've got a wife.
Yeah.
And I have no, like, when I'm home, there is no solitude.
No.
There's either crying or there's whining. Mm-hmm. And then you've got my kids. Oh, I'm kidding. Gosh. I'm totally kidding. My wife is great. But seriously, there's just always something going on.
Yeah.
And so for me, solitude is now like grasped onto, mm-hmm, for dear life, you, yeah, know, these opportunities to get away and pray,
mm-hmm,
or to get away and do a hike.
Yeah.
These things are great for me because it really does get me centered back on. It brings me balance.
Yeah.
Because sometimes with a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, yeah, you, mm-hmm, heard that right, people. I'm in my 40s and I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. life is chaos.
Yeah.
And as Jack, my youngest, starts to walk, it's going to be even more chaotic,
yeah,
and I'm going to need that solitude even more. And so for me, as I've gotten further along in life, suddenly solitude matters a whole lot more to, mm-hmm, me.
Yeah.
So I desperately need it.
And I'm glad you get it sometimes.
Sometimes.
I know sometimes you really enjoy when me and Dave are out of the office.
Oh, man.
And you're just like, oh, I get to get work done.
Yeah, yeah. And that's nothing against either one of you guys. I love working with you guys. And it's just, there are times when I just don't want anybody around.
And it's the opposite. When you guys leave and I'm in the office by myself, I'm like, well, I just want to go home.
That's
I don't want to be here by myself.
That's great.
I can't do it. I struggle. I need to learn.
Well, I know one of the things you really enjoy, and this was the second of the four things that Dave talked about, study.
Yes.
You're a studyaholic.
I love it.
You really get into the Word, and you love, like, listening to teachers and preachers,
yes,
and really digging deep. How did you get to that point, and why is that so important to you?
I think at the it started when I was younger with my dad. My dad's a study freak too. He's a doctor, and he would just bury himself in books. I think out of obligation, but I think he really enjoys it. Somebody who stares at a microscope for that long.
I can imagine.
I can't do it, but he loves it. He loves the study part of it. And I remember the very first time somebody showed me how to do something. And I couldn't do it. Then they showed me how to do it, and then I could do it. And that was awesome. And I was like, that means I can learn anything. And
that's great.
Like anything, I was like, I can do anything in life. Someone just has to show me how to do it.
Yeah.
And whenever I became a Christian, it was no different. I had this new thing. It was a book that has 66 other books inside of it. And there's people that have written commentaries and there's sermons on it. And it's an unlimited knowledge out there. And I always viewed it as somebody else has something that I want.
Right.
And I'm going to ask, hey, what does this mean? And that was the beginning of how I started to fall in love with study.
And now it's just kind of like who you are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love looking at scripture. I'll come talk to you. I'll sit in your office for hours and talk about one scripture. I'll go talk to Dave. He'll tell me what he thinks. And then I'll even, like Elsie, Dave's daughter, comes in for an hour or two a day. And we'll just talk about what we're going to talk about on Wednesday.
Oh, that's cool.
For like 2 hours. Like, hey, this is a scripture. What do you think? And we'll just... I would love to hear her opinion on what it is. What about you? Is a study something that you really enjoy?
I've come back to study.
Come back.
Actually,
okay.
Yeah,
what
I hate
do
to
you
say
mean by
it.
That?
I hate to say it, but when I became a worship minister, I did youth ministry for 12 years.
Okay.
And did a lot of teaching.
Yes.
Every week. When I was in Cynthiana, I would do Cynthiana, Kentucky, at the Indian Creek Christian Church there. I was preaching every Sunday night for our youth service. I was doing a Wednesday night Bible study every week, so I always had to study for those.
Yeah.
And when I moved to Kenosha, Wisconsin, we had a full-blown youth Sunday morning worship service.
Yeah.
And I had to preach every single Sunday. And so you've got that, and then the teaching that had to go into our community, our small group ministry up there.
Yeah.
With our kids. We had about 140 kids. And probably about 90 that would show up on a Tuesday night for these small groups that we had.
Yeah.
There was a lot of study that had to go into it.
Yeah.
Now fast forward ahead to worship ministry. Not that there wasn't a need for study, but not to the depths that I needed to study before because I wasn't teaching as much.
Yeah.
And I think urgency leads us a lot in what we do.
Yes.
And because there was no urgency for me to learn things to teach from the stage for worship, I found my study dwindling a little bit and found myself get a little lost because I had taught would have been bad. I found myself that I had taught for years, but now all of a sudden I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was kind of like, break.
Yeah.
But after a while I felt myself getting more hungry for it.
Yeah.
And, come this past fall, I now moved into the role of discipleship minister.
Now you got to study.
I have to study constantly. I'm doing community group questions every week.
Yeah.
I just finished up a Bible study on Galatians last week and got one coming up on Ephesians in May. I get to preach every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So my need for study has increased huge. And so now I find myself studying a lot more. What bothers me is that was where my imbalance was. Was that I wasn't taking the time to study, and now I'm finding that balance back, but it took an outside force to make that happen.
Yeah, I know for me, you can speak on this as well. Spiritual disciplines are so hard because there's no instant tangible thing that you can see, like, yes, I completed something.
Right.
Like, there's not something that you can visibly see or touch that's like, yes, I completed this. Maybe a check mark on a page, but like, yes, I studied today.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's not like, you didn't build anything. You didn't write a sermon. You didn't write a worship song. You didn't put together a service. Like, somebody can't look in on your life and say, yes, you did stuff.
Yeah, I think there's milestones you can hit.
Yeah.
Like, if prayer is something you struggle with, you can say, okay, my goal right now is to pray every day this week.
Yes.
And then when the next week comes, I'm praying every day for the next 2 weeks. And then,
yeah.
I mean, there are milestones you can hit, but it's a lot like working out in the gym.
Yes.
I mean, you lift a piece of metal and then you set it back down.
Yes. I love it.
I hate that so much. I hate it. Treadmills. You get on a treadmill and you just walk and walk and walk and you go nowhere.
I hate it.
And the benefit is not what you're doing.
Yeah.
The benefit that comes is what comes because of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And spiritual disciplines are a lot the same, or in a great way the same way, because you're studying. The studying in and of itself isn't the great part.
No.
It's what you gain from the study.
Yeah.
The giving, it's not necessarily in the giving itself. It's what you get from the giving. Oh, it's yeah. Same with worship.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving everything to God, but there's a benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
You, when you pray, there's a benefit to it.
Yeah.
But you can't see the benefit right away. You know, Dave even talked about worship. And when he talked about worship, he said, worship's not just singing music on mm-hmm. Sunday mornings. He said, worship's bigger than that.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came to my head when he said that is I looked at one of the guys in the light booth where I was sitting yesterday, and I said, man, that's hiking for me.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about me hiking earlier. I get out in nature, I look out, and I see God's creation.
Yeah.
And I don't just see creation. I see beyond that. For me, I go out and I see trees that grow. But for those trees to grow, they have to have water. They have to have the right kind of mix of acidity and whatever else in the yeah. dirt around them. They have to have certain lighting conditions, certain temperature conditions. There have to be certain animals in the area for certain plants to grow. Certain fruits can't grow without certain bees
yeah.
pollinating. And
yeah.
you've got all these things that have to happen in order for nature to happen. And yet God made it all happen by just kind of
yeah.
snapping his finger. And there it is, you know, and to be a God that's so wise and so great and so amazing that he can create an ecosystem in a snap.
Yeah.
That's mind blowing.
Yeah.
And if you look at creation and you don't see God,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you're looking deep enough.
Yeah.
It's already beautiful. But when you realize everything it has to be made up to make that possible, it's mind boggling. So for me, hiking is just a huge form of worship.
Yeah.
I mean, what's worship for you?
Worship for me is, it's not that.
No, I know that. We figured that one out. Yeah.
It's not that. I would say it's more doing my best. Like when I feel like I'm true in worship, especially with my job or something, it's when I give my all to God, I put it in his hands,
right,
and understand that I am not in the same relation as him, that he is greater and I am less.
Yeah.
And I acknowledge that. And through that, I say, God, I need you to lead me. And I'm going to try my best to follow Jesus
yeah.
in everything I do. That's where I receive the most joy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we know that whatever spiritual discipline it is, you receive joy from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you know you're in true worship. Because you can't do the work of the main thing. You know, we cannot do the work of the kingdom if we aren't connected to the king. And if the only way we're going to receive joy is from the king, then we need to be disciplined in the things that he commands us to do.
Well, yeah, it's the whole idea of connectedness.
Yeah.
It you know, when you're in a marriage relationship, if you aren't connected with the person that you're married to, you're going to have a very miserable marriage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're never really going to have influence on each other. You're probably not going to be married long.
No.
You know, it's
yeah.
it's just
yeah,
how it is.
It's hard.
You know, and then he goes in this last part, and I want to make sure we touch on this before we get
yeah.
done, but giving.
Giving is, yes.
You know, giving. I think I touched on it three weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, and Rodney hit it last week, and then Dave hit it again this week. God deserves our first, you know. God yeah. deserves the first of what we bring in.
And not just the first, but the best first.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know he talked about his son with a Pez dispenser,
mm-hmm.
and this apparently means Pez dispenser, but he brought in this Pez dispenser, and he said his son Sam looked at him when he was younger and said, hey, Dad, you want a Pez?
Yeah.
And you know, and I know, Pez are kind of disgusting.
Yes.
It's not really the world's best candy.
I haven't bought a Pez in my adult life.
No. And I can't remember, I honestly can't remember the last time I had one of those little chalky pieces of sugar, but
yeah.
He said, he looked at his son and he said, nah, I'm okay, Sam. I don't want one. And Sam goes, yeah, but Dad, and he opens up a Darth Vader helmet.
Yes.
Well, you just spoke Dave's love language, Star Wars. And so he opens up that Darth Vader helmet, and Dave goes, ah, Darth Vader. Yeah. And so he grabs one, and he eats it.
Yeah.
And, you know, this the point Dave was making is different from what I actually picked up from it. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times in our finances, we have this, everything's God's. We've talked about this before. Everything is God's. And when you open up that pest dispenser of everything is God's, we just take that candy freely because it's good and it's the way it should be. But when we change the Pez dispenser to, now it's insurance for the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, can't touch that candy.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, it's got to make a house payment. Or we got to go out with the family this week. Or, you know, we got to go on vacation. Or, you know, it's any list of Pez dispensers you can find. Suddenly, your finances are no longer God's. They're yours.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're yours, you're protecting them.
Yeah.
So now you aren't willing to give to others. You aren't willing to share.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're hoarding and you're holding.
Yeah.
And giving becomes a chore, not something you love. And I would say that's why 90% of people don't tithe.
Mm-hmm.
I think the average Christian in America, even though we're commanded to tithe, gives between 2 and 3%.
Yep. I think it said 2.7%. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like a little over a fifth of what we're supposed to give.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, that's what we do.
Yeah. It's hard to explain to somebody without them experiencing it that when you give, you receive freedom.
Absolutely.
When you give your first and best to God, there is an immense amount of freedom that comes with it. And it's hard to explain that. You can say it all you want.
Mm-hmm.
But until somebody tastes and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
They will never be able to actually know that the Lord is good.
Well, and again, it's back to that connectedness again.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, we can't do the work of the kingdom if we aren't connected to the King.
No.
And if you're holding on to everything as your own, then it doesn't belong to God.
No.
And if it doesn't belong to God, then you're not going to be connected.
No.
And you're gonna have separation there. Mm-hmm. And we have to realize, we have to come to that realization that everything, our time, our finances, our families, our children, our jobs, everything is God's.
Yes.
Once we come to that point, these disciplines aren't nearly as difficult.
No.
And we find ourselves in a place where communication with God is very open and very freeing. I think when any of these are out of whack, prayer immediately goes out of whack.
Yes. That's the first one for me.
Yeah. It'll go out of whack immediately because there's a sense of guilt.
Yeah.
And you don't want to talk to somebody you feel guilty about.
No. And I also know in my personal life, whenever... And a sign of maturity in believers is when you don't want to do these things. If you are a mature Christian, you do them anyways because you know that they're the most important things.
Absolutely.
And we need to make sure that these things, when we don't want to do these spiritual disciplines, they become obedience and we continue to do them.
It's like working out in a gym.
It's
like working out in a gym. I mean, you don't see the benefits immediately.
No.
You know, but you have to continue on.
Yes.
You're picking up a piece of metal, and then you're setting a piece of metal back down.
Yes.
And then you're picking up a piece of metal.
And you do it again.
And you're setting a piece of metal back down. And you just do this. And I think it's the dumbest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
I think it's another reason I like hiking so much. Because at least I get to go somewhere.
Absolutely.
Have some kind of accomplishment. Yeah. People are like, well, just get on a treadmill. And I'm like, so I'm going to walk on a rubber mat and go nowhere and watch SportsCenter. You know, it's like, it doesn't do it for me.
No.
But their benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And with prayer and with study and with worship and with giving, if you continue, you see the benefit.
Yes. Yes, you do. Well, that's been a great conversation about this week's sermon. This is the Midweek Podcast. This is John Kelly. I'm Rob Harlemert, and we'll see you next week.